Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in the book of Job. Job meaning persecuted. Job is still addressing his so-called friends, and actually with friends like this, you wouldn't need too many enemies. They're trying to understand why his world has fallen apart. And of course, as I stated in the last lecture, you're very fortunate. Your father has allowed you to be privy to who's causing this. It's not God, it's Satan. And God, at the same time, is pulling for old Job, but allowing Job totally on his own to guarantee Satan couldn't have him. There was no way that Satan could win Job's heart because he was one of God's election. What's very important for you to know is that God knew Job from the first earth age. I know some of you won't understand that. Put it on a shelf. He knew Job inside and out. I'll use that terminology. And he knew Satan didn't have a prayer. Evidently, Satan was acquainted with Job quite well, too. And he tried everything under the sun. That means on this earth, in this earth age, to that poor man's flesh body, other than killing him, that he did not have the right to do. And Job, kind of, his friends were telling him, you know, you bring these things on yourself, God is fair, and you're in bad shape. And Job had insisted to them, I'm innocent. I haven't done anything. And you know from even the good days that Job not only repented of himself, but he repented for his children just in case they had done something. So he was very subconscious of pleasing the Father. But what you are privy to is you know Satan is doing it, and at the same time, what lesson should you learn today? He'll do it to you. Only, thank God for the cross and what happened there. We have power over him. You don't have to put up with it. You can kick him off of you and send him down the road. Excuse me. So, chapter 7, verse 1, Job keeps answering. He said, you know, you all are like a dry a stream that runs, but when you need it, it's dry and gone. You're no good. Chapter 7, verse 1, Job continues, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth, or not his days also like the days of an hireling? In other words, this means like for conscript service, even if you would. The word man here means mortal man, which is man that walks under the sun, man in the flesh walking on this earth, Enosh in the Hebrew tongue. Verse 2. As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, or pants, the Hebrew word is that he pants for the shadow, mean to get in the shade, hot. And as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, for his wages, in other words. 3, so am I made to possess or inherit months of vanity, months of emptiness, months of nothing, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. In other words, what he's saying in a way, my days kind of let them be numbered because I don't see with what I have inherited from this mess, I don't see much point in me going on. I don't see much good for me to live for. Now, this gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And you know something? If you ever get depressed, listen to this. Listen to it closely. You see, Job here, though he will never curse God, and he will never totally blame God, but he does get depressed at times. And I guess with three friends like he's got, well, it's kind of understandable. But, you know, with the perfect assurance, you never give up hope. You know God's always going to give you a way out. Verse 4. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? Question. And I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawn of the day. It's dull, it's laborsome. And how can I, you know, you toss and turn, can't sleep, a bothered mind. What does this say to you? Satan's bothering him. Satan's not even giving his mind rest while he's asleep, if he can possibly help it. Verse 5, my flesh is clothed with worms and clots of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. In other words, the sores break and run, and even after healing up, they break and start running all over again. Verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Life is passing so fast and there's not a glimmer of hope. Now, this is what you never want to allow yourself to sink to. Because the blessed hope and assurance is what you do have. And if you catch yourself depressed and down in this mood, you've allowed it to happen. I mean, start taking names and kick and drag and get him off your back and get up and act like a man, woman, or a child of God. This is written for your benefit. Job went through this, so you today would know what you would put up with, what you wouldn't put up with. It's your choice. It really is. I will teach the next few verses on two separate levels because of the writing, the Hebrew manuscripts. I will capture it if we can. Verse 7, oh, remember that my life is wind. That's ruach, which is to say spirit. I have a spirit. My life is a spirit body. Mine eye shall no more see good. In other words, everything I see, it does not bring me, I don't see any enjoyment in this. I don't imagine he was having an enjoyment. Why? Satan was robbing it from him. He's a thief. And everything that Job could have taken enjoyment from, Satan was ripping it off. All right? Hey, he will you today, friend, if you let him. You don't have to. Verse 8. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. In other words, I can't live this way no longer. I'll use that terminology. But at the same time, when the earthly eye ceases seeing mortal man because of the clay to clay, then spiritually the ruach, the spiritual body, can be seen of God. Okay, you got it? Job is obviously aware of this information because the manuscripts allow you to detect that. Verse 9. As the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Now, what you want to recognize, we're talking about Enosh here, the mortal man, the flesh man. Once that flesh goes into the grave, it never comes out of there again. Contrary, just because it happened on a one-time instance when Christ defeated death at the resurrection, then certainly that was to advertise the fact to those that were present at that moment. Most of those bodies that are in the graves today have long since turned back to dirt, and that's all they are. They're gone. But to be absent from this flesh body is to be present with the Lord. They have put on that ruach, that spiritual body. Hey, it looks a lot better than these old flesh ones. Down there in the world of departed bodies, not souls. Verse 10. He shall return no more to his house, not the flesh. Neither shall his place know him anymore. Not to return to this age ever again in that flesh body. Verse 11. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job kind of demands here that our Father or someone explain why he's so tortured at this time. Now, of course, what are you to ascertain from this? Well, when you pass from the Enosh, the flesh body, and you return to the Father, you're in his world. Here, Satan is the prince of the air. You're in Satan's world, if you allow him. Otherwise, it can be yours, serving God. It's just according to how much brass you take with your Wheaties in the morning. What kind of brass that puts on you, how good you are. Because when you know the right name to use, Satan will run from you like a scared rabbit. This world is not a bad place at all. It's only if you allow that is negative, if you choose to put it that way, to literally take over your life. I mean, if you're not careful, all you can think is negative. Well, it won't do no good to try that. That won't happen, or this will happen. I just know the bad luck just follows me. Well, I'll bet it does, you know. If that's your attitude, I guarantee you it will. Out of your own mouth, you sentence yourself. That's when you need to get a hold of your bootstraps and stand up and act like a man, woman, or child of God. And get off your poor me, baby jag. Verse 12. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? In other words, that you've got me imprisoned. You have bounds, is what the Hebrew says. You've got me caged in here. Am I an animal? Job knows he's a man, and he knows he loves the Father. Why? Job cannot understand. Why are these things happening to me? And beloved, I can only give you one bit of advice today, inasmuch as this is written to you for your edification. If you ever get on one of these jags, you better start punching out of the sack right away. You better get in the name of Christ and in the power and honor of his name, as he so stipulated in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He said, I give you power over all your enemies. Why then would you put up with it? Why would you put up with it if you were having bad days like this? It's your own fault if you do. For he, if you read his word as it is written, you can take advantage of the blessings he has left for you, or you can let Satan eat you up. But, you know, why do I say that at this moment? Because Job is reaching out for answers here. Am I a whale? Am I a sea? Am I some object? No, I'm a man of God. Why is this happening to me? So let that be your warning. If you ever ask yourself that question, why is this happening to me? Take inventory and fix it in your life. Verse 13. When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint. Not even when I sleep am I left alone. Not even when I rest in my bed. And I'm not adding to the manuscripts, beloved. That's the total thought. You with companion Bibles, you have Job in poetic form as well as the King James Version. I would recommend highly that you read it, and you'll have a better understanding. God never leaves you alone, and don't you ever forget it. And you will find rest. Ultimately, what this comes down to, let's put it strictly in modern day language, English. There's no peace of mind for this man. And I'm going to tell you something. Until you learn how to find peace of mind, there will be no peace for you on this earth. Peace of mind comes from knowing. I'll quote a scripture here. Knowledge and wisdom begins when you begin loving our Father. Okay. Why? Because if you love him, you're going to read this letter he's written to you. And it will strengthen you and give you the knowledge and wisdom that you can take names and kick dragon. You'll sleep real good. Because you have guards around your bedroom that you would not even be aware of. Don't make any more of that than it sounds. 14. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. Now, let me ask you a question. He's asking here. But now you know, you're privy to it. Let me ask you, who's giving Job bad dreams? Who's giving Job bad visions? If you don't know the answer to that, you and I have both wasted a lot of time since we opened the book of Job. The adversary, Satan. You've got to know your enemy, and you've got to know where to hit him, all right? To conquer him. Those things are very important. The scriptures tell you who your enemy is and how to take care of him. And my, what a long, drawn-out set of manuscripts we have in this book of Job, so that you should never, never forget who your enemy is. I'm going to tell you something. If you're one of God's elect, boy, does he have your name in his typewriter. He is on your case every time you will let him. Why? He's got everybody else fooled. I'll fly away, oh glory. I mean, they're already ready to jump on his wagon and rapture out of here. Because he's the first one that comes. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about giving them trouble. Make them happy in their little world of innocency, so to speak, or ignorance. I prefer ignorance. Offends a lot of people that way, but I like to win friends and influence people, I suppose. But Satan will bring those visions. God doesn't have anything against Job. He's proud of him. He's happy with him. He's waiting to see if Job will crack. How embarrassing will it be to your father if Job cracks? You know what Satan will say? Ha 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 ha. I told you, I knew it. I knew I could break him if you just pull away some of the fineries. Well, look, he gets you right down where the rubber meets the road with a few of the fineries of away and starts really scrubbing your old hide. And you don't start kicking him off. Will you crack? I don't think so. Because you know that God is always going to give you a way out. And you know how to get rid of Satan, all right? So, verse 15. So that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. Now, the word life here basically means bones. It doesn't, it isn't KK as, let's see, we just had life in a prior, say back in verse 7. Oh, remember that my life. This is wind. That means my spiritual life, hey, is in the ruach. This is different. This means flesh, bones. Okay? Said, I just assumed that these bones died. Now, that's getting pretty bad, you know, but he's still not cracking, all right? 16. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone. For my days are vanity. They're empty. There's nothing to it. Why go on this way? Well, why won't he crack, dear one? I mean, you've got to realize we've got him down pretty close to it. He says up before this, back up in verse 5, that my old sores heal up and they just bust back open and start draining like a river again. I can't heal my body. There are just no uses. Just one sore on top of another. And they bother me. They're painful. I scrape them. You know, he's not having a pleasant time. But he didn't crack. Satan bothering his mind every moment he can, trying to pump doubt into him. 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? Question. And that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. That's to say that God would even fix his attention upon man. You know why? Because God loves his children. Boy, has God got his attention fixed upon Job at this time. I mean, the tug of war is going. Satan's pulling. God is watching, knowing. And do you think for one moment God reached in and interfered ever? Uh-uh. He knows that Job can cut it. He knows that Job can handle Satan by himself, that Satan can't crack him. But again, I want to relate this back to your life. In your daily battles, this same war, this same struggle, this same controversy between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ, in your life daily, do you let Satan win? I pray not. For you see here how it would hurt God if it should. He trusts you as one of his election. So, of course, he has his attention fixed upon you. Verse 18. And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. Well, visit him with suffering is what Job is thinking right now. It's real easy when we know that God is in control for man to maybe let his guard down just a little bit. Now, Job still didn't actually blame him. But he's trying desperately to understand. You've got to give Job credit for that anyway. 19. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? Swallowing down your spittle is an idiom or a metaphor that means leave me alone for just a moment, because it only takes you that long to swallow. It just means instant. Okay, what, can you just leave me alone for one moment? So we see that he's getting near the bottom. 20. I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? What have I done to deserve this? Is what Job is actually saying here. We don't understand all of the workings of God. There's a lot more to it than man is ever able to ascertain, to visualize. But when you follow him and love him, you have to trust him. Trust him even at bad times. 21. And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away mine iniquity, my sin? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Now, he still believes, Job still believes, that our Father will, with love, repay and claim us. But what he's saying here, Father, hurry, otherwise it may be too late. I'm about to die. And I imagine he felt bad enough, according to verse 5, that he felt he might die at any moment. They were sure worried about it. Chapter 8, verse 1. We got another cookie cutter boy for you here. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said... Now, what this means is son of contention. And he's going to bring some contention into this. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about this dude. He's going to try to convince Job that Job may not be aware of it, but him and his children are sinners above all sinners. Because look at the terrible mess they've all fallen into. That God is fair and good and honest, and all he's doing is repaying them, and Job is no good at his present state, that his children and he both, his whole family, are the height of all sinners. All right, that's what he will build up to. So the contention is well named. Verse 2, how long wilt thou speak these things? Question. Oh, that ought to build you up. How long are you going to keep going on like this, Job? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? A strong wind spurning all restraint. When are you going to restrain yourself and keep your mouth shut and listen to us boys? God will tell you, I can't hardly wait till we get there. God will sooner or later, he'll say, Job, why do you listen to this ignorance? Meaning what? You're supposed to listen to God, not man. Verse 3, doth God pervert judgment? Question. Well, the answer to that is, of course he doesn't. Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? No, God is fair in all cases. Maybe with one exception. You see, and even that is fair, totally. You see, God chose the election in the first earth age. They do not necessarily have free will in this earth age because, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, they don't even know what to pray for. So God's going to intercede in their lives, and there'll be a time or two they're going to wake up and say, wonder what I'm doing here. Because they've already overcome, so God can interfere with them and cause that is written to come to pass exactly as it's written. And that's fair because it gives the sinner in the first earth age the opportunity to have free will to choose God or Satan. For God's elect, as he uses them in Job, is that type. They've already overcome anyway. God is fair. What? Let's get back. I don't want to digress here, and perhaps I have. No, I haven't, but to some it might if you're studying on the least level. What he's saying here is, Job, you've got to be the sinner of all sinners. Is not God good? Is he not fair? Does he not judge correctly? The answer, of course, is yes, he does. So, surely you've done something real bad, or he wouldn't be doing this to you. He's setting Job up. All right, verse 4. If thy children have sinned against him, and he has cast them away for their transgressions, well, it's obvious, all 10 of them are dead. 5. If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if you'd get on your knees and pray and ask for forgiveness. 6. If thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Well, boy, that's a big help there. Nice advice. Everything's been taken away from him. Job is innocent. He hasn't done a thing. How do you think this would make Job? How would it make you feel? You knew that you had not sinned against God, and everything you have is ripped from you, including 10 children, and you got some yahoo standing here saying your 10 dead children were all a bunch of sinners at the height of the list. That's what he's saying. It wouldn't make me feel good, all right? I don't think it would you either. 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. Oh, if you'll just get down on your knees. Well, what does he think Job had been doing? He'd been in sackcloth and ashes for days praying to God. 8. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. Man doesn't live all that many generations to have knowledge and wisdom. So what he's saying here is, look back at history, even look back to the first earth age, if you would, all right? The former age. Learn from their mistakes. 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. We just breeze right on through this place. So you've got to go back in history to learn these lessons well. And God is kind of spurring you on, even through the mouth of this fool, that you can't just look at the, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I've been to seminary for 4 years. Well, whoopee-doo. What a big deal. That's like an eternity, isn't it? You're just getting ready to start learning. Keep going. Maybe after 20 years you'll get there. I'm talking about teaching now, just to helping encourage a few. We are here but a short time, and you're sure not going to learn it if you don't look back to the first earth age. 10. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? You can learn from their experiences. In other words, he's saying sin and experience should tell you, Job, Look at their experiences. If they sin, God got them. All right? Well, that isn't the case here with Job. Satan is on a crusade. And God has already told Satan, he won't bow to you. Well, we'll see. Verse 11. Can the rush, the contention continues. Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Can the bulrush grow without dirt? No. Well, if it doesn't have the dirt to put the roots in, where the moisture or something that will hold moisture, naturally it can't grow without water. Verse 12. Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Gone. 13. So are the paths of all that forget God. Here we go, Job, and you fit right up there, number one. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Why? It's void of hope and polluted. A hypocrite can't make it. And he's getting pretty rough on old Job right here, 14. Whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Translate that last word, web, as his house, the spider's house, or you're not going to be able to pick it up in the next verse. 15. He shall lean upon his house, or his web, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, and it shall not endure, as a web won't endure when something severe comes along. So will a hypocrite's foundation. 16. He is green before the sun, and a different thought. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. 17. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. In other words, he digs in, and he takes the high ground. 18. If he destroyed him from his place, uprooted him, then it should deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. In other words, this had kind of happened to Job. He was a little bit uprooted here. 19. Behold, this is the joy of his way. He says this sarcastically. All right, just I guess, to twing old Job's strings here on his instrument. All right? So this is said sarcastically. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Get rid of them and let somebody else take up that space. 20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Where does this leave Job? God won't injure a perfect man, but at the same time, he won't help an evildoer. Well, he's not helping Job. And yet, so it all comes back to one thing. Don't forget, Satan's doing it to him. All right? I suppose I should make this point. The laws of justification affect the election differently than some people. But at the same time, what makes it fair for the election, they have the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to contend with the contender. Okay? A word to the wise is sufficient. Verse 21. Till he fly thy mouth with laughing, I'm sorry, till he fill thy mouth with laughing, and thy lips with rejoicing. 22. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. They're blaming Job. And Job blames, or he questions God, or Satan, and God. He's questioning God, and Satan's getting off free. Okay, I want to say that again. His friends are blaming Job. And Job is not blaming God, but he's questioning him. And Satan is getting off scot-free. Meaning, They have no understanding whatsoever of the problem. You do, because God made you privy to it in the first chapter. Don't miss the next lecture. Anytime you're depressed, hey, go back to Job and learn a lesson from Almighty God and His expectations of those that He truly trusts. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?